Hi, thank you so much for staying with Sharad and I on Consider This. But if you've just joined us on the show tonight, we're discussing the latest developments in the science behind vaccines and variants. Professor Dr. Victor Ho Chi Y. Abdullah joins us on the show now. He's the head of social and preventive medicine at University of Malaya's Faculty of Medicine. Dr. Victor, good evening. Thank you for joining us on the show tonight. I'd like to begin with a broad assessment, your assessment of Malaysia's COVID-19 vaccination strategy as a whole, especially when we take into account the data that is ever evolving about vaccine efficacy against variants of concern, particularly the Delta variant.
The current vaccination policy and basically for phase one, phase two, and phase three are basically designed to cater for the certain group of people. Like the phase one is healthcare worker, and phase two is basically vulnerable. And I think a lot of people actually have completed the second dose vaccine. That's around 8% second dose vaccine. And around 15% has completed their first dose of vaccine. So having completed two doses of vaccine, you would have reduced the chances of getting severe diseases. Like if you get COVID-19 disease, you only get category 1 and category 2. But there are also reduced chances of getting diseases. So basically, around less than 10% actually of the people who are vaccinated, less than 1% of the people vaccinated actually can get the disease. Because we have seen this issue in the University of Malaya Medical Center, where basically we have vaccinated quite a number of our population, around 10,000, and we only get less than 200 cases.
Victor, if I can ask you about the kind of the balance for public policy decision makers between the idea of protecting the most vulnerable as quickly as possible, giving them the two doses, prioritizing that, as opposed to giving as many people as possible at least one dose. In terms of that debate, where do you stand?
I think the best is to give, because currently we must look at what are the issues that's facing the country now. The issues that's facing the country now is basically lack of our healthcare facilities are actually overwhelmed, and healthcare facilities are overwhelmed basically due to people who is really very vulnerable. All right, so people who are vulnerable would basically develop a more severe diseases. So if we can vaccinate the vulnerable people first, and then basically we would reduce the burden to the health facilities that we have now. So for my stake is basically to vaccinate the more of the vulnerable population, because we understand from the current the development that even though if you vaccinate only one dose of vaccine, all right, the protection against the Delta variant is basically lower. And having only two doses, you have a full protection against the Delta variant.
All right. So you are for having two doses. And what do you make of the dosing interval? Because again, Malaysia has chosen to reduce the gap of the dosing interval, bringing it from 12 weeks to 9 weeks. And we know, and there's been recent studies that say, well, actually, if you prolong the gap between a dosing, that you might in fact increase the immunity response. But do you think we've done the right thing in making the dosing intervals shorter?
The research actually had come out is that their studies compare between 6 weeks and 12 weeks. And the difference is basically 6 weeks you get around 55% and 12 weeks you get around 80% efficacy. So if the government is going to reduce to 9 weeks, those are the recommended dosing interval by international, even in the UK. Basically, they recommend between 8 to 12 weeks interval between the doses. So it all depends on the availability of the dose, and also it depends on how many people you want to get vaccinated quickly. So by giving the second dose at 9 weeks, I don't think there should be a problem, because other countries also are giving it at 8 to 12 weeks. But of course, the longer you wait, you might have more immunity. But as we mentioned, if we can give two doses to people, to as many people as possible, then we will get more people basically getting less severe disease if they get infected.
So, Dr. Vickers, of course, this issue of the reduced dosing interval applies to AstraZeneca. It does not apply to some of the other vaccines that are in play in Malaysia, right? And Pfizer have a fairly short interval. I think 3 weeks is what recommended.
No. Basically, only apply to AstraZeneca. Are we talking about AstraZeneca?
It does only apply. That's right.
Yeah, because AstraZeneca is the one that have the longest. Sorry.
Yeah, well, that's fine. I just want to clarify that. I want to ask you about this recent decision by Singapore to recategorize Sinovac as a less efficacious vaccine in terms of transmission, not in terms of infection or in terms of severity of disease, but in terms of transmission. And they seem to have taken the decision to now have a tiered access for people who've been vaccinated. So if you're vaccinated with Sinovac, you still have to get tested, so on and so forth, unlike somebody who's taken Moderna or Pfizer. Do you think that's actually fair? Do you think, what are the public policy implications of a government taking that kind of a strategy?
I think unless we have enough research to actually shows that it basically does not stop transmission, then only we should make the policy. But currently the research says that all the vaccines actually available, basically approved by the WHO, are efficacious to actually prevent severe diseases. The main thing is that if everybody get vaccinated as quickly as possible, and if we get more people vaccinated, there'll be less chances of the people of the virus basically infecting our population, because most of the people are vaccinated. And those that get vaccinated, they will basically have a lower, although they get infected, the category of diseases will be lower. That means they're not less severe compared to those that are not vaccinated. And that would basically reduce the burden to our healthcare system.
Dr. Victor, the issue in Singapore is not so much about that. It's not about the severity. It's not about the infection rates. It's about transmission. The finding now that the mRNA vaccines, Pfizer vaccine, actually is efficacious in reducing transmission of the virus,
because of the high efficacious of 90% efficacious. So when you're 90% efficacy, so when everybody get vaccinated, then the transmission basically would reduce. But not just basically, although you say the Pfizer does not lead to transmission, but the study is still very, very new, because the vaccine itself is very new. I don't think we have enough information to say that the Sinovac is basically less efficacious in stopping transmission compared to other vaccines. The main thing is if we start to give more information to the public, and then it's very difficult for people to actually decide on what vaccine to take. This is the first time in our history that we are given a choice of what type of vaccine to take. Before this, basically, there's no choice of what vaccine to take. You just go to a doctor, and doctor will give you whatever vaccine is there, and you just take it.
Right. Yeah, I completely agree with you. I mean, you know, the public is kind of bombarded with news that seems to shift on you know, not just a weekly basis, but now a daily basis. And I feel for policymakers who have to think about or take into or negotiate some of that news into the decision making. I just want to ask you very quickly, because you talked about getting as much of the population vaccinated as possible. And I know that there's still a pillar in our pandemic management strategy. But Khairi Jamaluddin has said recently he stopped using the term herd immunity, and he's talking about an endemic COVID-19. I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on herd immunity, if that's no longer possible, and whether the vaccines are still winning the fight against variants.
The main thing is that vaccine are still winning the fight against the variant, but we are not here to stop what we call it. We're not here to stop the disease, stop you from getting the disease. It's more important than stop you from getting very severe diseases. Even at most of the vaccine that we are getting now doesn't stop you from getting the disease. It basically stops you from getting severe diseases. And because you have less severe diseases, you have less chances of passing the virus to other people also. And also less chances of basically landing up in hospital or landing up in the morgue. So that is the most important part of it. the info, I know, I understand that a lot of people are talking about the disease, the COVID-19 is going to be endemic. Yes, COVID-19 is going to be endemic. But even if it's endemic, we can still try and reduce the endemicity by vaccinating as many people as possible. The thing is that what we need to do now is to focus on vaccinating as many people as possible. As we see in many countries, like in the US and the UK, life basically have returned to normal, almost normal, because they have vaccinated enough people, around 60% of their population. So if we can reach that stage, and basically we will be able to achieve at least some type of normality in our life. Currently, we are only around 15%.
Thank you so much. That was Dr. Victor Ho from University Malaya's Faculty of Medicine. That's all we have for you on this episode of Consider This. Thank you so much for watching the show. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan, signing off for the evening.
Have a lovely weekend. We'll see you on Monday. Till then, good night.